Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you. Going until 7 o'clock this evening. Evening, right? Yeah, not afternoon. We're there. Look, I got to get back in the swing of this. It feels like it's been a minute since I've hosted a show. It's been a few weeks, but like I said earlier, happy to be back with you guys. Interesting game going on right now. On ABC, as would the college football world be able to handle a 3-loss Alabama team? Because it's certainly possible today. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's certainly possible, as Missouri holding on so far, early second quarter. So there's a ton of time. Ton can change. But just the simple fact that after it felt like the embarrassment that Alabama's been dealing with to not come out and put up a bunch of points early on Missouri. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm very curious to see how this one shakes out. Right now, the Crimson Tide up 3-0 on Missouri. However, I do want to switch over to us talking some Atlanta Hawks basketball. As I mentioned at the start of the show, this has been a crazy week of a lot of different sports going on all at the same time. But one of those is the NBA being back. And maybe you're a fan who is I'm not really tuning in until Christmas kind of person. And like, hey, I understand. I used to be that kind of person. It's not fun. You should change your ways. I know college football and the NFL exist. I know the World Series is going on right now. There's some really good basketball getting played to start the season and some interesting ways that we're seeing how teams are starting to be put together. And one of those is the Hawks. Maybe not surprising people yet, but for a lot of people who were down on this team, the Hawks showing that, hey, us losing a guy that a lot of people called a star that certainly didn't look like one when he was in Atlanta, we're doing all right with what we got in return and how everything is going since. So let's go out to the waitfor.com hotline, and we'll do that in just a bit. But when it comes to what we saw from the Hawks last night, is we're going to be joined shortly by Lauren Williams of the AJC. And look, if she doesn't get on the phone line, I am going to be very upset, because Lauren's not only just like a fellow journalist with me on a weekly basis covering the Hawks, but she's also like a close personal friend that's like, hey, come hang out with me. Come talk with me on Saturday. But no, look, what we saw from the Hawks last night against Charlotte was, I felt like, is starting to excite a lot of Hawks fans for what we can expect with Dyson Daniels. And it's got people changing their minds from what we heard when the initial DeJounte Murray trade happened, where a lot of people were going, oh man, all they got was Larry Nance Jr. and Dyson Daniels, because a lot of people didn't know about Dyson yet, and 2 first round picks. Like, that's all they could get. And now it feels like we're 2 games in. And, of course, Hawks fans are going to take off with this, but I feel like other people are starting to get some attention of, like, wait, they got Dyson and the Lakers' first-round pick next year? Like, this feels very interesting. But let's go out to the waitfor.com hotline now, bring in Hawks beat writer for the AJC, Lauren Williams. Lauren, how you doing on this Saturday?
I'm good, Caleb. How are you?
I am great, especially to get to be talking to you in a professional setting, as we can talk about what this Hawks team has looked like through 2 preseason games. Where I want to start first, Lauren, with the fact of this team is 2-0. So you could either do they've only played the Nets and the Hornets, so a rebuilding team and a team who has been rebuilding, but should be better than they have been in the past. Or you could be the person to be like, hey, they've come out strong and they've gotten 2 quick wins in the early part of the season. What has stood out for you, Lauren, through these first 2 regular season games?
I think it's just what you were talking about before, we started chatting, is Dyson Daniels. I think that he has really sort of changed the sort of attitude a little bit of the Hawks. He's added a little bit of, you know, a little bit of spice with his ability to, you know, consistently play on the ball defense. He's affecting plays when he's doing it off the ball. He's not afraid to stand up for himself when people try to punk him, which is something that you and I have consistently talked about with this team, that, you know, who's somebody that's going to be, you know, a little bit of that pit bull for the team. And I think that they got that in Dyson Daniels. So I think that this team is a lot more exciting. I don't know how good they're going to be just because of how young they are, but I still stand by. I think they're going to be a fun team to watch. I think, you know, there's a lot of good things that's going to change defensively just because of how Dyson sets the tone on that side of the ball. And just overall, it seems like players on this team are very excited to have him because of his skills on the defensive end. But I think what really excites me is that he's now playing in a completely different environment than what he was in New Orleans, where they had a very guard-heavy room, and he was kind of fighting for minutes because of his, you know, where he stood sort of in the depth chart. You had C.J. McCollum ahead of them. Zion Williamson has to have the ball in his hands a lot. Brandon Ingram, you know, there's just this logjam of scorers on that team. And so there's not a lot of, you know, ball to go around for his skills to shine. And, you know, even Larry Nance Jr., who played with him in New Orleans, has noted how much more aggressive Dyson Daniels has been since he's come to Atlanta. And I think he's kind of, you know, shown that he can be the perfect backcourt partner for Trey, because he doesn't have to have the ball in his hands 99% of the time to be effective.
Lauren, I feel like I've spent time over the course of this week explaining to people that when it comes to Dyson, and specifically after what we saw last night, like 18 points being a career high for a guy who's been in the league a couple of years, and you're like, wait, I mean, how does that happen? Like, how have you not scored more? But do you kind of see this as a, like, Dyson in New Orleans system was a, hey, I'm only to shoot the basketball if it is absolutely necessary, versus now there is that freedom?
No, I just think that the way that the Hawks play sort of tailors to his skills a little bit more as a cutter. We've seen it so many times. He has this vision and ability to cut to the basket, and that's just perfect alongside a guard like Trae Young, who has the vision to find guys who are constantly in motion. And so I just think this is a better environment for him. You know, as I mentioned, they had a lot of guys in New Orleans who need to have the ball in their hands. You know, Zion Williamson tends to kind of hold on to the ball a little bit as he gets his dunks. Brandon Ingram goes into isolation situations a lot of the time. And then you have a guy like C.J. McCollum, who, you know, was sort of their, you know, playmaker. And so he has to also have the ball in his hands a lot of the time. So I just think that he's in a system that's just better for him. And it just gives him a little bit more freedom to operate more effectively.
Now, when we talk about a guy who is not scoring or hasn't scored as much early on in his career, of course, when you're the number one overall pick, people are going to, you know, put you under a microscope and go, oh, 7 points first game, 5 points second game. Like, oh, no. Like, is there something to be concerned about when it comes to Zachary Risacher? Just from what you've seen the first two games from Zach compared to the preseason, where obviously we got a lot of excitement, is there any reason at all to be concerned about Zach's progress?
I don't think so at all. I think this is sort of standard of what you're going to see with a lot of top overall picks, and particularly with a guy who is coming into a situation where it's a veteran heavy team. And so I think the big thing is that, you know, he's still, for the most part, he's not pressing. I think we saw that a little bit more in game two of the season than the first game, in terms of him trying to hunt for his shots and find the right opportunities. But I think he's kind of in this sort of byproduct of now teams are playing defensive or defense in earnest. I think in the preseason, a lot of the time, you know, teams aren't necessarily going full effort on the defensive end. And I think that's sort of what's changed a little bit. I think the speed of the game is a little bit different now that you're in the regular season versus the preseason. You're consistently playing minutes against starters versus people who might be, you know, coming off the bench or off, a fringe player on the roster. And so I think things just look a little bit different, and he's just going to need a little bit of time to sort of, you know, find the right balance of when to attack, when to be aggressive. And I think in game two, you kind of saw him relaxing a little bit more. He did end up playing the entire second quarter of that game because of all the foul trouble.
Yeah.
And you could see that the poor kid was exhausted. So that's also going to affect how you shoot the ball, how you attack the basket, some of your decision making. But it's all going to, you know, help pay off in the long run. And I think he has a lot of teammates who are still very confident in him, who still want him to take those shots. But I think the big thing is that what people should be watching for is, yes, you want to see, you know, offensive production, but is he still doing the right things on the defensive side of the ball? And that's how rookies are going to earn their minutes. And so I think the fact that he, you know, rose to the occasion of trying to guard a guy like LaMelo Ball, trying to guard guys like Miles Bridges and Trey Mann and some of those fast players that are on that Hornets team, and he did a fairly decent job. I mean, you know, a rookie's still going to have rookie mistakes. He's still going to have some blown coverages, but he wasn't doing a bad job. And so I think, you know, right now, if you're watching him continue to defend in earnest and he's, you know, not giving up a lot of points, I think that's something that should be the positive takeaway of Zach Risacher's early career.
It's all a part of this process where the Hawks not expecting to have the number one overall pick as they landed, and they're not the typical type of team who gets the number one overall pick, like we saw with the Spurs last year, who could just throw Victor Wembanyama out there, and look, they're going to win 20 games, so what's it matter? He's going to make or break every night, and he's going to learn in the process. A little bit different for Zach Risacher right now. Talking with Lauren Williams, beat writer for the AJC, covering the Atlanta Hawks, with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Lauren, I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit right now, all right? You're my friend, okay. So I'm not going to mess with you too much, but you and I sit in these press conferences, and we've heard from Quinn Snyder lately talk about how he's handling Clint Capela and Onyeka Okongwu. Yeah. Are you buying his outlook of, hey, this is, you know, we're very much treating this situationally in how we use these two guys, versus the typical outlook that fans want to bring on of, you know, of its starter and its backup, or like, how are you kind of seeing this work between Clint and Onyeka right now?
You know, I am still sort of in wait and see mode, just because in watching this game, these first two games, they weren't necessarily the best matchups for a guy like Clint Capela, where there were a lot more mobile centers. I mean, early in the game, you did see Quinn sort of match up Clint's minutes with Nick Richards' minutes. I'm sorry, I can't talk. Clint Capela's and Nick Richards' minutes, just because from a size-to-size perspective and kind of similar styles of play perspective, that sort of works. But as the game went on, yes, you saw Onyeka Okongwu kind of end up being sort of the closer. And I do think that it's going to be a matchup-by-matchup based thing and a game-by-game thing and a minute-by-minute thing, especially because, yes, there are times that, you know, you have to read between the lines of what Quinn Snyder says. But for the most part, when it comes to the rotation, I feel like he's been pretty upfront about how things are going to go, especially when you look at, you know, how the quote-unquote backup point guard situation is handled. It has been a point guard by committee situation. I just don't think we've seen, you know, a scenario where, how do I put this, where it's like, oh, that's really weird that, you know, Clint was playing this guy so much better at the beginning of the game, but then Quinn is still closing with Onyeka. Ooh, that means Onyeka's the starter of the future or whatever it is. I just think it's been a situation where the justification for Onyeka closing out the game was just clear, where he was scoring a lot of points. He had a career high 28 points in game one. And then as the game sort of went on yesterday, it just seemed like he was coming out on the better side of some of those defensive matchups. So I think it's definitely one of those things where it's been a case-by-case basis. I don't think there's a clear sense of favoritism, especially because, I mean, we haven't seen a situation where Clint has been unhappy with minutes and how things have unfolded. I don't know. Have you seen any of that? I haven't seen any of that.
Feels like we're in a really good place like right now with those two guys. And as we heard from Quinn the other night, you know, he's talking about, hey, they're both supporting each other in a really good way.
Yep.
That is Lauren Williams, Hawks beat writer for the AJC. You can follow her on social media at Lauren L. Williams. Lauren, appreciate you giving us some of your time on this Saturday.
Thanks, Caleb. Always good to talk hoops with you, buddy.
All right, sounds good. When we get back, going to do a check the tape segment. Big time World Series game one last night. What did Freddie Freeman have to say after the win? As well as, is everything okay with the Falcons defense? Because questions were interesting. It's all coming up next. Dopey Millennial Show, Sports Radio, 99.9 The Game, and the Odyssey app.